Let's read some verses from 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's words of instruction that Paul is giving to his young son in the faith as he is God's child is coming near the end of his journey, and he's desiring to instruct his child, and he gives him a solemn charge. And as I think of the years that the work of God has been going on here in Annalong, I think also the 13 years since the opening of this new church building, and for that we praise the Lord. We thank God there has been a simple, clear message in all of those years, those 39 years that were talked about. And certainly I know something of that, because in Macrofelt I was there for 50 years. And you say to yourself, well, you must have a great memory. You can remember back all that long. Well, certainly, those memories are certainly very, very clear and etched in my memory. But I thank God for those years that God has given to us to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul gives us charge. Let's read here in verse number 1. He says, I charge thee, speaking to young Timothy here, he says, I charge thee therefore before God. That's a very solemn thing, isn't it? Very solemn charge, very solemn statement to make. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. You see, when Paul was called to preach the word of God, he wasn't called by man. He was called of God. And when this denomination came into existence way back in 51, and here in this congregation and here the work of God in Annalong or in Kilkeel, remember, it wasn't man's work. It was God's work. And God called this denomination into being. And here was a charge which he gave to Timothy. It was simply three words. He says, preach the word. And that's it. And that's the summary of not only the charge which Paul gave to Timothy, but it's the charge that God has given to each and every man that stands in this pulpit. When God brought our congregation into being and we built the new church in Macrofelt after 10 years in the tin tabernacle, and the Lord gave us those new buildings, when we were planning it and we were thinking about putting it up, and we're putting a text upon the back wall, the brethren said to me, brother, what do you want to put on it? And there's some great texts of scripture that certainly were in my heart. I love the text of God's word, redeemed with the precious blood. But the verse that God gave me was this: woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And friend, that text it can never be taken down, because it's actually built in the brick. And therefore, to take that text down from above that pulpit, they'll have to tear the building down. And thank God they're not able to do that either. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come, Timothy. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice, they shall heap to themselves. And friend, that's the awful tragedy when apostasy comes in. It's all about self. It's all about man. It's not about God. And he's warning, he says, the time will come when they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And the tragedy is this: in this day in which we live, friend, let's be honest, that's the reality of many churches today. They've turned away their ears from the truth. Why? Do you know why? Because they don't want it. They don't want it. They don't want the truth of God, because they've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. They turn their ears from the truth, and therefore they shall be turned unto fables. So therefore tonight, he gives this charge again. He says, but watch thou. Timothy, watch. Watch thou in all things. Be careful. Be careful, Timothy. Because remember, let me tell you, my friend, there's none of us that are beyond failings or failures or falling. He says, but watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Thank God we look forward to a greater day. There's a great day coming, and our sisters work for the Lord. Let me tell you, it's not in vain in the Lord. There's a great day coming. And you know, this congregation has acknowledged the faithful service of our sister and what she has done amongst the boys and girls. But friend, there's a day coming. The Lord can acknowledge that. Her labor has not been in vain in the Lord. And he said, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Friend, I don't know what part you play in Anna Law, but I trust you play a faithful part. That's what God requires of you. That's what requires of us stewards, to be faithful. And God's child, as he ministers in this congregation, needs faithful men and women, faithful young people that will stand and then thank God unto all them. Yes, the Lord will indeed acknowledge all that is done for his name and for his glory. Let's have a wee word of prayer before we just bring a short word tonight, before we have fellowship around a cup of tea. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight that we have read. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word and write it upon each and every one of our hearts. We pray that our God tonight, that if there are any in this gathering and they know not the Lord Jesus Christ, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that thou wilt save them. Bring them unto thyself. Lord, we pray for these young people. We pray that our God, we covet them. We covet them for Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou wilt put thy hand upon them while young in life, that thou wilt save them, that thou wilt seal them for thyself. And, oh God, use them for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. See, when Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, that's what we're here to do tonight, is just simply preach this word. And when we come to the Word of God, what does it tell us? It tells us some very simple things, but very solemn things. First of all, when we come to the Word of God through this book, we find about the problem of sin that everyone has. And friend, let me tell you, the problem of the heart of the problem, and the problem of the heart is man's sin. You see, they turn away their ears from the truth. And men and women don't want to hear about their sin because it makes them uncomfortable. And yet the Word of God reminds us that each and every one of us, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't know where many of you have come from tonight or what your background is, but that doesn't count. Let me tell you, you could be brought up in a Christian home and still be in your sin. You could have a godly father and mother that have on bended knees been praying to you or for you night after night. And maybe there's someone here and you're out, still out in the world. And yet your godly loved ones are praying before God, oh God, save my child. Bring them to yourself. Why? Because they see the seriousness of your sin. And remember this, friend, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you ever want to pay. And so whenever Paul was preaching the word and when Timothy was exhorted to preach the word, he had to preach to men and women about their sin, the problem of their sin. All have sinned. The word of God says, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, well, that's not me. You talk to the down and out, you talk to the drunkard, you talk to the whoremonger, you talk to the immoral person, you talk to the gambler, talk to the person that's bound and fettered by sins. Let me tell you, my friend, well then I'm talking to you if you're not saved tonight. Because every person that's not saved, maybe your sin's not one of those, but you're bound by sin. You're bound by sin. The Lord Jesus Christ came to set you free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But you're bound by your sin. That's an awful problem. You know, when a person goes to the doctor, and maybe they feel sick, and maybe they're losing weight, or maybe there's things happening, they say to themselves, there's one thing quite often in the back of their mind, and they don't want the doctor to say it. There's one sickness, and they fear it more than anything else. Let me tell you, friend, there's one sickness that you ought to fear more than anything else. It's the sickness of sin. It's the disease of sin. And every one of us have it. The Word of God says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You're lying to yourself. It's not that you're deceiving somebody else. It says we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We're strangers to God and to grace if we say that we have no sin. Why? Because God says we have. God says all have sinned. If we say we have not sinned, yet God says we have. Notice it says in the Bible, we make him a liar. We're calling God a liar. We're lifting our angry finger against a righteous and a holy God and say, God, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you diagnose in my heart. I have not sinned. I have not sinned. God says, you have. Do you remember what the devil said to Eve in the garden? The devil said to Eve, you know, Eve, are you sure God said? Are you sure that that was God who said? Or that said to Adam about that tree? About the fruit of that tree? Are you sure that God said that you're going to die if you rebel against his command? Then the devil said this, thou shalt not surely die. And friend, Eve was deceived. And she took of that forbidden fruit that God had said, the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil says, shall not. Tell me, who was right? Who was right? By one man, sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. And friend, you and I know that that's real. Because go down the towns or the streets of our towns and our churches, you'll find that there's a graveyard connected somewhere. Reminding us, death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. And so whenever Paul was saying to Timothy, Timothy, you preach the word. Preach it. Whether men like it or not, be faithful, Timothy. That's what God requires you. Be faithful. Preach the word. Stick to the word.
Forget about the fables. Forget about the things that man wants to hear about. Man wants you to whitewash them and tell them how lovely they are. The Word of God says, listen, all, that includes me, all have sinned. And that's the problem, friend. And in preaching the Word, you speak about the problem of sin. But thank God the Word tells me something else. It tells me about the provision of the Savior. You see, if I were to stop and say, man, you have a disease, and the disease is an awful disease, it's going to kill you, that sin will take you down to the lowest hell. If that's all I had to say, my, what an awful thing if I stop there. If God had no remedy for sin, but thank God there's the provision of the Savior. Listen to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I'm glad I'm able to come to Anna Long and tell you, listen, there's good news, because gospel means good news. And the good news is this, that whilst man has the problem of sin, praise God, there's the answer in the provision of the Savior. God has provided the remedy in his Son. God so loved you and me that God gave his only begotten Son. That's how much he loved him. That's how much he loved you. He gave the darling of his bosom, his co-equal and co-eternal, his Son. And he sent him to the cross of Calvary. And there on the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he shed his precious blood, bearing our sins in his own body in the tree. And thank God, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved through his precious blood. And praise God, there's the provision of the Savior. Why? Because this word tells me that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, if you would take your place tonight as a sinner, there's good news. There's good news for sinners, helpless, hopeless, hell-deserving sinners. The good news is this: there is the provision of the Savior. Not a Savior, the Savior. For there's only one. Acts chapter 4, 12 says this, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. But friend, that doesn't end the good news. Thank God in Christ there's the power of salvation. You see, you and I are fettered and chained and bound by sin. We can't set ourselves free. We can't get liberty. We're chained. We're enslaved by our sin. And of ourselves, we can do absolutely nothing. We do not deserve God's pardon. We do not deserve God's mercy. We do not deserve God's love. But God has provided that all in Christ. And in Christ, he has provided power of salvation. The little chorus says this, he can break every fetter. He can set you free. And friend, whatever the sin is tonight, thank God there's power in the blood of Christ to cleanse you from it. This is what the Bible says. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us. Listen to this. From all sin. Not some. From all sin.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? Listen, here's the answer. There's power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? Yes, there's power in the blood. What can wash away my stain, the old hymn writer asks? Nothing but. Well, thank God it doesn't stop at nothing. But it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. And tonight God has provided not only a wonderful Savior, but thank God in Christ and through Christ alone, there's the power of salvation. He is able to save to the uttermost. From the guttermost to the uttermost, all that come unto God by Him. Maybe there's someone here tonight and you're saying, but God couldn't save me. And He can. But you don't know my heart. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter about me. But God knows your heart. I'll tell you, God knows your heart far better than you know it yourself. That's why God provided a remedy. That's why God provided His Son. That's why God gave His darling Son. He loved the world that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. He's provided the remedy in Christ. And thank God there's power in the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson. What does that mean, friend? What does all that mean? Listen, even though you should be down in the very depths, in the very gutters of sin, and people walk past, say, look at that filthy, dark, deep-dyed sinner. My, he's the deepest, darkest sinner in this community, in Annalong, or in Kilkeel, or Newcastle, or Ulster. And I tell you, friend, there's power in the blood of Christ to cleanse that sinner from every sin. You heard about the man of 82 years of age in the mission that got saved. Let me tell you, friend, in a moment of time, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed him from every sin. 82 years of sinning. I remember I was preaching in a gospel mission in County Antrim, Kells and Connor, where revival came to Ulster. And there's an Orange Hall there was asked to go to a gospel mission. I remember it was the last day of a mission. There were those who came to Christ in that mission, but also that final day, there were some that came to the Lord. But there was an old man waited at the very front. And when I dealt with the others, this old man was sitting, 92 years of age. 92. And I was going past, and he was sitting there, and I sat down beside him and said, well, friend, and notice there were, he was troubled. There seemed to be tears in his eyes, and he just sat there. He said, can I speak to you? I said, yes. And this is what he said to me. He says, when I was a young man, I went to a gospel meeting. The late Pastor Paisley was preaching. Came to the end of the meeting, and the evangelist made the appeal. And I was invited to raise my hand to come to Christ. Anyone who desired to come to Christ to indicate it by raising their hand. And he said, I raised my hand that night. But Pastor Paisley never saw me. He says, I left that meeting, Mr. McRae, believing that God didn't want me. That's what the devil told me. You see, he didn't see you. God doesn't want you. God can't save you. But he said, I sat here this afternoon, and there's something in my heart is saying that God is able to save. And then he said to me, tell me, would God save an old man of 92? I says, praise God, He will. And that day, after living those years, friend, thinking that God didn't want him, he yielded his heart to Christ. You know what he found? At 92, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from
Listen. All sin. I've got to finish. But I've got to warn you something, friend. Because in preaching the word, there's the peril of your soul. You see, it's possible for you to leave a gospel meeting without Christ. It's possible for you to sit in gospel missions and still leave the gospel missions unsaved and unconverted, still without the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I can do it, you say to me. I will not come to him. Yes, but friend, remember this. There's a price for sin. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. I'm not talking about physical death. Yes, that's a solemn reality. That's a solemn subject. No man but a fool will laugh in the face of death and say, I don't care about death. The last enemy, the Bible says, that shall be destroyed is death. But I'm talking about something more. I'm talking about after death. The day when God has appointed that you stand before him and the great book is opened. What then? That's why Amos cried out with all the love in his heart. That's what he said. He says, prepare to meet thy God. And whether you want to believe it or not, God set an appointment and you'll keep it. You haven't the power to break it. It is appointed unto men once to die. That's one appointment. But don't forget the rest of the verse. But it's appointment after this. The judgment. And meet God you will. Friend, if you're not ready, you'll meet him in your sin. And this is what Jesus said. What would it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. And there's nothing worth it. There is nothing, my friend, that the devil can give you. There's nothing that sin can give you. There's nothing that even life itself can give you that's worse, that's worth losing your soul. Yes, the peril of the soul. It's in the book, friend. And Paul says, Timothy, preach the word. And God is a Savior tonight. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I'm glad to say tonight, he's able to save you as he did me to the uttermost. If you come to God by him, by Christ. And if you forget everything else that I've said tonight, remember this. You can get to heaven without riches. You can get to heaven without fortune or fame. But you'll never, ever get to heaven without Jesus. Just remember that. And you can have everything else, But if you have not Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not heaven, friend. It's hell. May God give you grace to come to Christ tonight. Run to Him. And I'll guarantee you, it's in the book. He'll save you to the uttermost. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless Thy word to our hearts. And even tonight, ere this gathering draws to a close and men and women go away, oh God, there's some precious soul will run to Jesus, call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, for Jesus' sake. Amen.